Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 7 to the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. Mike Salzman is our guest. Michael is the VP for Berman & Company, also Research Director for Employment Policies Institute, EPI.org. Mike, thanks again for being here. We've talked about employee scheduling. We've talked about the overtime rules. That's a regulation, folks. That's not a law. It's a regulation. It came out of the Department of Labor that's about to be implemented. What are some other issues that are pressing that our audience is liable to bump up against?
Well, you know, I think the big one that a lot of people are probably facing, and then you and I have talked about before, is this minimum wage issue.
Yeah.
And I think probably where people may be feeling it in a way that they weren't feeling it before is at the hyper local level, at the city, maybe the county level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think nationally, you know, there was a big minimum wage debate on the federal level back in 2014. And, you know, they couldn't even get it through the Senate, which
right.
at the time was controlled by you had a lot of Democrats in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think really what labor has realized is that it's a lot easier to kind of count to seven on a city council in a left-of-center city than it is to get the job done at the federal
and they
level.
And they think if they keep picking these little opportunities off around the country, eventually the thing will come together like a squall line in a storm.
That's exactly right. Although, you know, it's interesting because they've left so little room now to bargain. You know, I mean, the Democratic draft platform was just released, and it has a $15 national minimum wage in it. So really,
wow.
For a lot on the left, anything less than 15 is considered just unacceptable.
Given in.
That's right. So the idea of compromise.
Why don't we make it 50? Let's make it 50, Mike. Why stop at 15? Why don't we make if we're gonna spend money we don't have, let's just make it 50. I'm not being facetious here. It might as well be 50.
Yeah, I think it's funny. We would have probably when you and I first started talking, Jim, we could have said that. We could have said that about 15 or 20, but now, you know, people are talking about these things seriously. So I don't even know if the 50 thing is going to be a joke anymore.
I know. It's crazy. And I don't know where I keep wanting to ask these politicians, where is the money going to come from? You know, the people that you're going to hurt. And the history shows, right? I mean, the research shows that when that minimum wage increases hurt the people they claim to help, don't they?
Time and again, that's exactly what the research shows. It's what the real stories show.
People lose jobs instead of getting a raise, or jobs aren't created for that class of worker.
That's right. And I think the other thing that's I think less discussed is that it's actually not that good at helping people in poverty. You know, we looked at the numbers on this recently. About 60% nationwide of adults living in poverty today actually don't have a job. And so these are people who really need employment. They don't need
if they need help with a living wage, wouldn't increasing the earned income tax credit, wouldn't that combined with a wage like a, you know, the current minimum wage, combine that with increasing the earned income tax credit, wouldn't that help people to gain employment, to start providing for themselves, to get some self-respect, and to find their way out of poverty?
I think it absolutely would. I think that so that's a policy that sort of boosts people's wages through the tax code instead of through a mandate on employers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the evidence shows it's a much better way to pull people out of poverty than a higher minimum wage. You know, unfortunately, it goes back to our theme from the last segment. You know, if you're a union organizer that's spending a lot of time in this minimum wage debate,
right.
The earning of tax credit doesn't do you a lot of good.
Yeah, your contract is not based on increasing the earned income tax credit. It's based on when the minimum wage is increased.
That's exactly right. You know, the interesting thing about 15 is that there are actually a lot of union employees, specifically like the service employees, who actually make less than 15.
Right.
So they, it may not even be their contract. They may actually get a direct pay bump if the minimum wage goes up. And then the union gets more dues accordingly. You know, we estimated that in California, for instance, with the minimum wage going up to $15 an hour there, you have union members there that are receiving a combined, I think it was north of $800 million in raises, which means about $9 to $10 million in additional dues each year for the unions that represent them.
That ain't lunch money for those guys. That's a lot of money. No wonder they're working so hard on this. Hey, Mike, I got to wrap it up. Good job today. Great reports. Three different great reports for us. Come back soon.
Hey, looking forward to it.
Mike Salzman, ladies and gentlemen. And that's EPI.org is the website there. Check that out. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.